In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, only one God, Amen. I will try to translate between, jump between in English and in Arabic. We remember all together that we talked before about the worship, and we started last time the series about what the meaning of worship. ابتدينا في السلسلة بتاعت العبادة الكنسية الأرثوذكسية in Orthodox Church, which is really, this is, give us the meaning why we have to pray at church and why we, what we are doing. And we will go through everything. The first lecture, the last time when Abuna Shnuda said it, okay, give it. And also the second one, it's only just an introduction to what is the meaning of worship. Then from next time, we'll start about the rites of the church and what the meaning of it, okay? First of all, what I have to ask about, I have to ask about the meaning of worship. What the meaning of worship? يعني إيه عبادة? Does it make sense إن أنا أقول كلمة وأنا I don't know the meaning. It's a word and I don't know what the meaning of worship. Okay, worship, it only someone who love other person and give him an emotions and give him everything from his heart. يعني بالعربي لو واحد مثلا واحد بيحب واحدة بيقول أنا بعبدها. An idiot. What the meaning of this word? Yeah, exactly. When I love someone, I give him a lot of things from my life. I give him time. I think about him. I never think about him, for example, with bad things, for sure. And I give him a lot of time. And always I'm talking about him because, for sure, I love him a lot. I'm talking a lot about him. Exactly. Let's come to the church. We love our Father. And again, he is a father. I have the fatherhood. And I love him a lot. And I try to give him like a time for worship. I'm talking about him. I am praising his name. It's a kind of worship. That's why when we go through from the first church, when the apostles institute the first church, what they did, they tried to institute the foundation of our church by prayer and praising God. And they said, we are in joy when we talk to God, when we pray to God. And they have a lot of faces, a lot of way to pray to God. That's why St. Paul, for example, said to Timothy, he said, I thank God that I worship him. يعني هو بيحاول يقول له أنا بشكر ربنا قوي إن أنا بكلمه. He thank God that he is talking to God. It's a privilege. You can imagine only. You can imagine that God, who is God? Who is God? He is the Almighty. Who is the Creator? And he gives himself to myself. And I am the lowly. I am this person who is a small person comparing by him. And he gave me the privilege that I am standing front in him to worship him. I'm not a slave. Maybe I'm a slave in his love. But he told me, you are my son. Again. Maybe I am a slave of his love, but I'm not a slave. I am his son. Then coming to next point, which this is the worship, but what the meaning of Orthodox? Again, the last lecture, and this one, it's only an introduction to know what the meaning of worship at church and at the Orthodox and the spiritual meanings. Like if I'm saying that, I have to pray, I have to come to the church. Why? There is now like a tone outside the church said, well, I have to come to the church. I have a relationship between me, between God, and it's not necessary to come to the church to listen to anything. You know that I have my relationship. I will tell him that, or tell them that you have to plug in. I will take expression of plug in. The plug in, if I have any equipments at my home and I didn't connect it to the source of electricity, it will never work. If you imagine or like make imagine that you will come to the church, you will never get anything from the benefit from yourself, it's wrong. Even your presence in a church between the angels, which is written in the Bible, your home, your house, the house of angels. I am here at church and I'm living with them, I have a benefit. When I attend the Mass, the liturgy in the morning, early, and come early to meet him, and I take the communion, it's a benefit. If I'm praying and suddenly a word I heard from someone, Abuna or a servant or anybody, and touch my heart, it's a benefit. That's why the tone outside the church, which is said, no benefit for the church. I can do my relationship with God. The same tone when the Catholic Church involved a lot in the politics, and the people said, okay, go outside the church. What happened now? They sell all their churches. They are selling the church. What the meaning of Orthodox? Orthodox, it is not because we are called Orthodox, and there is Greek Orthodox, Armenian, or Syrian, or whatever Orthodox, or Russian. It means that it's a kind of Christianity. No, Orthodox, it means the straight way. In the beginning, in the first five centuries, when there is a lot of the first our forefathers, like Saint Athanasius and all the fathers, Saint Augustine, there is a lot of, they said that they tried to institute the faith, and the faith at that time, it's named Orthodox faith. It's not related to something different in like a kind of Christianity. No, Orthodox, it means the straight line and the straight way. But what is the relation between the worship and my faith? What is kind of relation between both of them? The kind of relation between the worship and my faith, it's a kind of, you can imagine you come to the church or you go to your home and your room, and I'm doing something, again, I'm doing something to worship for God. I can't stand kida, okay, and close my eye, and that's it. There is a kind of act I have to do it to help me in worship. That's why, for example, if I'm praying, that's why if I'm distracted, then, for example, Abuna said to me, okay, Habibi, you can't do Matanya. Habibi, you have to do the cross. If you stand, for example, okay, you can bow. You can stand on your knees. Then different kind of acts I'm doing in order to help me in my worship. And also, if I come to the church, there is a lot of acts we are doing as deacons and as priests, and also the congregation, they are doing a lot of things at church, reveal their faith. Again, everything we are doing at church, and we will see in the other lectures in the series, there is many things we are doing reveal our faith and Orthodox faith. That's why it's very important to know that in the first church, for example, they gather all the people all together and they are praying with one heart. And they put everything under the feet of the apostles. They try to institute one word and one thought is one heart for the church. One heart for the church. And the problem that there is some people and some heresies said, Jesus Christ on the mountain, he gave a sermon and he taught all the people to how to live the Christianity without any acts or deeds. Why the church now is doing something different? It's one of heresy. Even Jesus Christ, when he said that, because he told the people, he went to the temple because he had to do the worship also too. It's totally wrong. That's why also the disciples taught us how to pray and what we have to do. And from the disciples, again, and the disciples taught the other bishops and the priests to teach us also after, later on, what we have to do in worship. That's why if I'm doing, for example, something like rites, I will tell you like a small example. You see that when we start the thanksgiving prayer in the beginning of the Vesper, the priest stand outside the altar. It's an example to know how the meanings, and we will see this later, but it's only to see what is the meaning of all of that. And he stand outside the altar and he's praying and he's raising his hands and pray the thanksgiving prayer. Okay, outside or inside is the same. If I go inside, God will accept my prayer. If I'm going outside, God will accept my prayer. No, there's indications. I am praying here because to remember that Adam, he was exalted outside. Outside, okay, of a paradise. And I am only raising my hand to thank God about what he will do, or what he did. But what I remember this, what he did with Adam when Jesus Christ was incarnate and came and saved Adam. And that's why he gave us the opportunity and the privilege to go inside again the paradise of joy. Then I'm praying only outside the prayer of thanksgiving, and after I finish, I go again inside. Only to remember or to remind myself and all the congregation about what Jesus Christ did with us in the salvation. It's a small thing. That's why if we have rites in our church, it helps us. If we do something, for example, Abuna is doing something or the deacon's doing something, we will see later on, after, we will see that he's doing because he now to attract your attention by your eyes, number one. Number two, we have a censer and we have incense and there is a smelling of the incense and now it's coming to you that we try to put you in the environment of the prayer. That's why one of very, very simple thing in the prayer. When you start the prayer at your home, you can never go to your room and start direct your prayer and you just finish, for example, something outside. You have like a 5 minute at least to do a transition period between what you did before and what you will do to make the contact with God. Your mind is still working with what you did before. I can, for example, study with my kids outside. I'm doing a lot of things. And now I decided to go to pray. I close my door. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. And I start my prayer. Never happened. You will be distracted. That's why we try to go in the environment and the spirit of prayer. And it's the same. From the beginning of the liturgy, we try to put all the people bit by bit in the environment and the spirit and the spirit of the prayer to pray. Anything in our life with arrangement. That's why I was surprised, for example, when we do the liturgy, our brothers, the Protestants, said, why you have a lot of arrangement in the liturgy? I can answer. The first liturgy with Saint Cyrillus, Saint Cyril, which is the first liturgy Saint Mark wrote. It was written before the Gospels. And before the Bible, one important liturgy was written before. That's why when we open the epistles of Saint Paul, we will see that many, many words, it came from Saint Cyril liturgy. Then Saint Paul took some words and paragraphs from Saint Cyril liturgy, who said that no arrangement and there is no liturgy, it's wrong. And who can say that there is no arrangement? Even Jesus, even God, when he created the world, all the world he created by arrangement, day by day. And that's why when we do anything in our church, we live together the prayer. Again, when we do anything, I have to understand the meanings of anything at church. For example, like in the icon, on the iconostasis, why we have this arrangement, for example, for all these icons. And why Abuna, he has to give the incense to the icons? Why I have to pray the psalms in the liturgy? It's something outside. I have to pray it at home. Why we have to pray it here? There are a lot of things we have to know about it, but at least we have to know in first that, again, we have to know in first that all of this stuff as rites help me to pray. Like the matin, we have the vesper now at the night. Tomorrow morning we have the matins. It's different. Then after this, we going to the readings of all what the gospel said, the Pauline, St. Paul, and the others' readings, and the Synaxarian, and then all of that. Why we have to read all of that? Then going to the liturgy. The last things, it's the spiritual relation between, or the spiritual meanings of all our worship. When we worship, if we worship only by, because we have some rites only that we have to do. For example, I have to go to the altar from the right and I don't know why. If I'm doing that, for example, I have, if I'm going to the altar and I have to bow, and it's because it's a habit only, and I have no fear of God inside me, and I have to understand this is the place of God. This is the holiest of the holies. That's why I have to go inside. I have to take care about what I'm doing inside the altar. If I'm doing the rites without any spiritual meanings, it's also, again, it's nothing. That's why when we pray, we're asking to see God. You'd be surprised. We're asking to see God, really. Especially for the, in the church. And all the we pray all the time and we ask him to see his face for sure. But at church, you can imagine that we're asking to see his face. I'll tell you something. The last Sunday, it was the paralytic, the gospel. It was about the miracle of the paralyzed man, and we talked about this part. We can't see Jesus Christ without remove the stones from the roof, from my roof. I can't see Jesus Christ without ascend the stairs. I have to remove my relation and my, I have to understand that I'm not attracted to any person when I'm talking to God. And I have to remove the stones from my heart when I'm talking to him. There is a lot of stones and idols in my heart, in my life. Maybe some of it, like I hate someone, I don't like someone. How I can stand in front of God and I'm doing that? One of it, maybe I'm lying. A lot of things, there is no meanings to stand in front of God. I'm talking about myself. And I'm asking myself, that's why, first of all, I have to ask God to purify my heart and remove the stones from my heart. Again, I'm talking about myself. Without doing that, I can't see Jesus Christ. The four friends, when they found a lot of crowd outside and there is obstacles between them and to see Jesus Christ, they think about how, okay, let's go by stairs. Let's fly like an eagle. He's not related to the earth. He's related to the heaven. I'm not related to the people outside. I'm not thinking when I am in your presence, God, yeah, the Almighty, I'm not thinking about my husband, my wife, my kids, anybody else. There is a lot of crowds attracted and drags me down. And when they found the roof, they removed the roof. They removed the stones to see Jesus Christ, and many stones in my life. I have to remove it from my heart. In the presence of God, I can tell you, just like in the Revelation book when he tried to explain who is Jesus Christ, when St. John saw him, his eyes like a swirl of fire. He's looking to my heart. He knows very well what is inside my heart. I can't lie. Then in front of him, I'm asking him, okay, you know me very well, more than I know myself. Now remove the stone. I will remove it, and you will help me also too. Remove the stone from my heart as I will remove it also. But without your help, I can't. The stones, a lot of things. I will see inside my heart what is the stones, like an idol between me and between God. I can't maybe see him. I come to the church and I'm praying the liturgy and I'm asking God his help. I'm going into the communion. Today, in the Syriacene, in the morning, there is Emba Dimitrios Ekkaram. He's the 12th Pope, Patriarch. God give him like a gift. For myself, it's a gift for sure for him. But for me, I'm scared. I was scared when I read the Syriacene in the morning. Anybody come to the communion, God, Jesus Christ, appear to Emba Dimitrios and tell him, this is good and this is not. This one is worthy to take the communion and this one is not. I'm scared. It's scary. When I read this, I was scared. Oh my God, like, okay, it's a gift for you, for sure, for Emba Dimitrios, but for us, it's very bad. When I come to the church, that's why it's a kind of worship. It's a kind of worship. Without any spiritual meanings, nothing. I'm coming because it's habit, and I have to come to the church, and I have to pray, and I have. But the end, I still have the stones in my heart. Then I have to remind myself what I am doing at church, what I am doing for prayer, when I talk to God. There is obstacles between me and between him. I am only pray by my lips or by my heart. This is the meaning of the spiritual meaning of the worship. I'm doing everything but from my heart. Not related to rites only. Rites only, it's a dry. But rites with a spiritual had a meaning. And glory be to God forever. Amen.